Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. Time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space, in the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have monthly community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. High vibration, cold pressed juices, and all that. On September 25th, we have the magical sounds of Free Soul and Lava. If you don't know their music, you should definitely check it out. I'll be sharing from my book, From Infinity to Infinity, and we'll have yoga, silent disco, vegan food. It's amazing. And then in October, we have Londrell. So he'll be coming through to play music off his album, Stay Free, and also share some of his poetry. So if those type of events are something you want to experience, make sure you go to dharmaglow.com and sign up for the email list. Stay tapped in. Once again, that is dharmaglow.com. Join our email list and you will get notifications when tickets go on sale and when we have other community events that you're not going to want to miss. All right, let's get into the episode. All right, so this is a new experience for the Dharma Glow podcast. I'm here at the You Belong Here studios. Nick Rock is sitting across from me.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here and thanks for creating this space. So for those of you that are not local to San Diego, or even if you are here and aren't familiar with this space, we're actually in a podcast studio with like foam on the wall. We're both in the same room. Normally I do these podcasts remotely where I'll record them over Zoom, which is cool. And it's great to have that option, especially because everyone can't be face to face, but it's a totally different experience to be able to sit across from someone and have a conversation and look them in the eyes. And this podcast studio is just one of the cool things about this space. It's a co-working space. There's a photography studio. Actually, Nick, you want to say what it is?
Yes, it's many things, but you are right on track. It is a collaborative co-work space and community event place. It does have the recording studio with all of the equipment you would need for producing a podcast. It also has a photography studio with all the lighting equipment, with some pretty high-end Canon cameras. And it has a meeting room that is set up for video. So if you're wanting to record an online course or do some meditations, you have a 3-point lighting system in the meeting room, you have backdrops, you have a teleprompter, you have access to a video camera and audio equipment. So it's pretty much a really fun collaborative space for creatives.
Amazing. And that's very exciting because creativity is, I feel like, an essential part of being a human being. Like, we're here to be creators, conscious creators. Mm-hmm. And it's especially important in times like these because we're in the death throes of the old society and it's fighting for power. And I feel like that scares a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just part of the cycle when something is dying, especially when something that has been powerful is losing power. It's all these crazy attempts at control and subconscious fear programming and all of these things, and it's easy to be susceptible to them. But I think what we have to remember is that we always have the power, and the power is where we focus our attention. So in order to stay empowered, focus on what you're building and what you're creating, because you can't be in creation mode and in fear at the same time. It's one or the other. So being in a place of fear is going to drain your energy and just make you go deeper into fear, whereas mm-hmm. being in creation is going to make you feel empowered, and we're also in community, and I'm in this space. So these are the antidotes to the modern ills of society right now. So
most definitely. I very much align with that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Nick has a interesting story and path, and this podcast is all about hearing people's path to discovering and expressing their purpose and what they learned along the way. So I'm becoming a member of You Belong Here. Yay. Today. And if you're in San Diego, I hope you'll join us so that we have more creative minds coming together. But I wanted to have her on to talk about the genesis of this space and what it's been like to bring it to life and the challenges and what she's learned.
Awesome. Thank you. Wow. Where do I begin? The space, I feel, really came from a place of scarcity. I think in business, I have been in scarcity mode just for survival, just trying to get by in business just so that I can pay the bills. But then I started to understand how much of a barrier to entry business is for a lot of people, especially for creative individuals. A lot of mediums such as videography, photography, even podcasting comes with high price tags. And when people cannot access those tools to make their creativity come to life, that's a barrier, that's a setback. They're not able to utilize their creativity to build wealth for themselves, to be economically empowered. And that was the factor. That was what pushed me into this direction of opening You Belong Here. But the underlinings were also taking approach that I didn't understand maybe until just recently, that I was also building a collaborative co-work space where people can come together in community and share and teach and learn from one another. But also the underlining factor of celebrating culture and your identity. And I'd say after, or going through last year, going through 2020, even through this year, I'm starting to put together a better idea of what You Belong Here is. And it is bridging the gap between creativity and sustainability by eliminating barriers into entry to business for creatives. But also that gap includes the community and cultural experiences, and really thinking about, as an individual, you can have the capacity to create something, but if you do not have the capacity to love yourself, how can you build wealth for yourself? How can you thrive for yourself? So You Belong Here is really focusing on becoming a space where we focus more on the individual, the holistic aspect of an individual. How does that individual gain agency? How does that individual work through generational trauma? How does that individual work through their mental and emotional health? And yes, you're like, oh, you have tools. How do you do that? You know, how can a podcast studio and a photo studio collaborative co-work space do that? It's not necessarily the tools and the equipment. It's the programming that happens inside of You Belong Here, where I invite many people in the community to take up space here, and they'll pitch to me, I have this idea to do an open mic, and my open mic will focus on creating a safe space for all in the community, also very specifically creating a safe space for trans identities. And there's not a lot of those here in San Diego. I've had people come in and use the space. One of my best friends, she's a clinical psychologist, and she was running some free workshops out of You Belong Here to help people work through trauma. And that was a pretty powerful workshop. There's a lot of art showcases that address social issues, social justice issues, things that bring a lot of discomfort to many of us, and we don't want to talk about it. But by hiding it and not addressing it and not putting it out there, we're also causing harm to people in our community. So a lot of those art showcases looked like there was a few shows before COVID began One of them focused on individuals who had been trafficked. And we told their stories, and to take something that was such a negative impact on their life, we found ways to celebrate them. They got to tell their stories. They had these beautiful portraits, just massive portraits on the wall, where everyone came to see how beautiful they are. And they got to talk about their experience. That whole showcase was supported by month-long programming, where a lot of those individuals who were in the showcase got to have a pop-up shop here, and they got to sell their products. We also did a film screening that addressed the issues of trafficking here in San Diego and on a worldwide level, and just really educating individuals in our community. So it's a platform. You Belong Here is a platform. Like, how, if we're going to help people be creative, we also have to help them heal. And if they're not able to take the traditional form of therapy, because that comes with the price tag, and if they don't have community that they can talk to about these issues, this needs to be that space where an individual can become whole. Once you work through all of these things that set you back, the way I see it, you do build self-agency. And once you build self-agency, you build self-esteem and confidence. And when you have that confidence, you're able to take the resources that are here, the community that's here, the tools and equipment that are here, and see how you can bring your creativity to life and thrive and be successful. So that's You Belong Here.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
It's a lot of things.
There's so many things. There's so many layers. And I think, again, revisiting the tagline that I don't have out there yet, because I've been doing so much new work with You Belong Here, that tagline is bridging the gap between creativity and sustainability. That gap is all those things. Mm. It's the programming to support the individual. Mm-hmm. You can have all the tools in the world here. You can have all the educational resources, the trainings, but if that person is not full and whole, then the tools don't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't drive someone to success so easily. We still have weight that we have to release, that we have to work through. Mm-hmm. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, totally. I hear what you're saying on multiple levels, and I feel your desire to create positive impact. And going back to what I was saying earlier about that we always have the power within us to interact with our situation as far as how it's energetically affecting us is important to remember. And as a creative, I so appreciate what you're doing. And a lot of people are doing the opposite and trying to exploit creatives and not trying to educate them or empower them. So what you're doing is great work. And I can also feel the urgency of why you want to do it, because it's something that heals the individual, but also then allows the individual to contribute and heal the community.
Exactly.
So one thing that I find useful, because we're both very mission-oriented people, is that there's not actually anything wrong with the world. And the quote-unquote problems that exist are giving us the opportunity to be our essence, which is love, to be God. Mm-hmm. So that's an eternal process.
Definitely.
So there's always going to be quote-unquote problems, but if we come at it with heart-centeredness and perseverance and resilience and all qualities that are feel good to develop, then there is no obstacle that we cannot overcome. So when I remember that, it allows me to relax into being. And that's, for instance, why I'm a creative and not, quote unquote, an activist. Because in my experience, everything is related, right? Like, I consider my work to be political, and I consider my work to have activist elements. But identifying in a certain way energetically affects the way you're received and the way you experience reality. So like Bob Marley is obviously an activist and very political, but he's also a musician
An artist.
Like a visionary. An artist first, the visionary first. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the way he's able to inspire and transmit his vibration throughout the world, it just seems like a way cooler path than any politician I can think of, right? Yeah, it's just, that's why I chose to be an artist. Because it's like, you can be cool, you can have fun, you can smoke joints, you can play soccer, you can have a community. And you don't have that sense of pressure that I felt within the activist community, where it's sometimes that feels like it's a response to trauma. Mm-hmm. Like people are feeling traumatized and therefore reacting against it. And I'm not judging that, because there's a role for everyone in every place, and everything is important.
Can I touch on that, what you just said?
Yeah.
You were saying it re-traumatizes, and it's very true. We never leave. If we're activists coming from a space of deep hurt, then we're forever in the system. We're forever in the loop. Right. We're never solving our own internal problems, because we're always in, like, reaction mode, reacting to everything we see. And going back to self-care is activism. To want to better yourself as an individual and to work through things that are deep inside you, to do the shadow work within you, that is activism. And it doesn't have to be an outward thing. It doesn't have to be you're protesting in the streets. But once you become whole, you can teach someone else how to become whole. You can become that example of, this is how I did it. Maybe you might align with some of this. Maybe you might want to try this. And if we're doing that, we are starting to create a collective of energy, and we become these unstoppable human beings where we see possibility. Yes, there are problems that exist in the world. Yes, there's so much pain and hurt, but we can be that change. We can do it by starting small within us. And that's what You Belong Here is hoping to do. It seems like it doesn't align because it's a co-work space, but it's many things. It doesn't have to just be considered, the narrative doesn't have to be a co-work space means you're sitting on a computer working all day. It can be a church. It can be a sanctuary. It can be a safe space. And it really is focused on the individual. And yes, so I'll go ahead and let you go back. But I really aligned with that, with what you were saying about just being outward activists can actually keep us in a spiral.
Because you're reacting against something.
Yep, exactly.
And we obviously still need to address the things that are going on. It's just, where internally are we coming from when we address those things? Mm-hmm. Are we coming from a resourced and nourished place? Mm-hmm. Or are we coming from a reactive, like, vengeful place? Exactly. And I think that's relevant in a lot of the things that are happening in society, whether it's fighting the patriarchy, societal economic systems that create zero-sum games, or there's a winner and a loser.
Yes.
And obviously those things need to change. But those are systems. I just got back from a men's retreat where I was co-facilitating the experience. And one thing I was really blown away about was, like, how sensitive men are, how much they want to connect, and how afraid they are to communicate, like, in a masculine way. And we really need that right now. Like, for me, the masculine form of communication is, like, penetrating a situation with your truth and speaking your truth. It's not an absolute truth. It's your relative truth, but you need to contribute it to the conversation so that we can start to have it. And based on the feedback you get, you can refine and you can do whatever. But there's cancel culture is so rampant. Which is so toxic. And so people are so afraid to communicate and to engage, that, and that's how they will enact power over so many, is because there's, like, a mental prison around free expression.
Yes.
And we want to shift into calling people forward, or
calling them in
as opposed to calling them out, and being curious, because we're all imperfect. We all have programs that are from a societal system that are not constructive to a harmonious society. So if someone is just expressing a program, I feel like it's really important that we depersonalize it and hear what they're saying with compassion and say, okay, maybe this person is ignorant about this thing and they're expressing this belief, But that's not who they are.
No. I very much align and agree with that. And when you were talking about cancel culture, it was so, it just became such a thing this past year. And I felt, what I felt from, I personally got canceled last year. And I think it was an interesting situation because I didn't know I had caused some impact on a person. Mm-hmm. And I was not aware of it at all. Mm-hmm. And this person did not tell me, but instead told a bunch of other people who were not a part of the situation. And then everyone was mad and angry, but never once talked to me about it. Mm-hmm. And made me aware of maybe there was some ignorance on my behalf. Maybe I did say something that may have triggered a response from this person, and I was completely unaware of it. But I think in order for us to heal the world and make it a better place, there is always accountability individually. And there is a lot of stuff going on. And if you're hurt and you don't have the capacity to process everything that's happening, your response is going to be always attack. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be always the attack mode is the safety mode. It's the don't penetrate me mode. And that outward projection, what it did was cancel, and it broke bonds between community members. Mm-hmm. And we need to get out of that. We have a lot of broken hearts out there right now, and no one's healing. No one's working through. No one's saying, hey, I feel this way, and I need you to hear how I feel. We're all divided. We're so far from each other when we need each other more than anything. And we have to be the teachers for each other. We have to show compassion towards one another. When I got canceled last year, I let it be. It hurt, but I thought to myself, this person must be so hurt that they were not able to communicate to me what they felt. That person is going through something, and I wish them the best. I hope they are able to work through that. And if not, I hope they can come to YVH. I hope they can come to You Belong Here and find community and find a program that fits for them. Find a form of creativity. Because, yes, we just, that cancel culture, it's not accountability.
It's not love.
It's not love. And no one's talking about what it is that they need. No one's sharing, I need this. How do I find it? Everyone's just, I'm hurt. I'm upset. And I'm going to hurt someone else because I can't control my own emotions.
Someone needs to be at fault for the way I feel.
Yes.
And that's emotional immaturity.
Yes.
So I thank you for sharing that experience. I could feel the energy of it and the tenderness of it. And I've been canceled too. So I understand it on a very deep level. And it's very intense because you get people you don't even know, who don't even know about the situation, interjecting their venom and projecting it onto you. And there are a lot of cool things about social media and the internet and being able to tap into information and hear a band from Japan. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And then there's also the shallowness and superficiality and like unprocessed rage that just gets thrown around. And it's so dangerous.
It is dangerous.
And I'm glad to be having this conversation, and I didn't know you had that experience. So,
yeah,
it's good.
I don't talk about it often, and to be honest, thanks for the platform.
Yeah,
to speak on behalf of that, I could hide it, and I have just moved on from it, but it still had an impact. Mm-hmm. And I think it hurts me most when I know it's from a community that I love and I want the best for, and that was really an emotional setback. But I have worked through that since and realized, like I said, this person is hurt. And I hope they find what they need to work through that.
Totally. And I also see the divine purpose in everything because obviously you're a leader in the community. So
thank you.
You understand the process both intellectually and experientially. Mm-hmm. And as do I. So as an example of how I think this is relevant and how it's operating on multiple planes, so I'll share the details of when I got canceled another time, but it was an incredible energetic shock to my system. Like for months, my system was being like electrocuted and shocked, and from a vibrational standpoint, because everything is vibration.
Yes.
There are very intense vibrations that exist, and certain people's vessels don't have the capacity to process certain levels of frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But since I have been shocked, and I like to call it initiated, many times.
I like that, initiated, yes.
Many times, my vessel has the capacity to hold a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So like when COVID happened, like I got canceled the year before. So I was already, I had gone through my like isolation, fear, all these things. So when COVID happened, it wasn't that big of a deal to me. Obviously I was aware of the way it was affecting the collective, but personally I was like, oh, I've already have a energetic blueprint for this. I'm used to the feelings that people are going through, which put me in a position to hold a certain frequency in reaction to that and be like, hey, yes, this is interesting, and like we're in a new space now, but and we can also focus on developing our creative gifts or focus on refining what our purpose is or where our energy is going. Yes. There's a lot of gifts that are available that when you start to find them and see what can I learn in this situation, you start to get that inner spaciousness you need to feel inspired to just wake up in the morning and continue.
Yes, and I love that.
Specifically at my men's retreat this weekend, without going into the specifics of the things, but the process is being around other men and sharing your struggles, sharing your dreams, also just being present with each other and getting to observe where people are hiding or where their shadow is. And then also, after enough safety is created, being able to speak to those things directly and say, yo, bro, you need to get your shit together here. And having it be like direct and confrontational, because either you're going to deal with it consciously or it's going to unconsciously play out in your reality. So it got to a point, it was a 3-day retreat over the first 2 days. We had done great of connecting and drum circles and cacao ceremonies and expressing your feelings, but we hadn't gotten to the deep shadow work. So when it came for me to do my facilitation process, I had noticed some shadows were especially loud for some of the people. And I was just like, I'm going to speak to this. And that's part of my gift as an Aries, like direct, blah, blah, blah. And I said, there had been like a popcorn style for the things. And I was like, okay, for this session, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be speaking and communicating with people directly, and I'm going to ask that no one else talk unless I'm talking directly to you, so that the silence has a chance to speak, because there's energy in silence, because I knew it was going to be uncomfortable. But even as I was doing that, like my nervous system was like on full alert. My stomach was gurgling. I was having a hard time swallowing and breathing.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, let's start with the breath. Let's all breathe together. And we did that. And that was for everyone, but also for me to be able to calm my nervous system. After we did that, I prayed to everyone. And I was like, I asked for the divine to use me as an instrument of healing and come from a pure place. And then when I got done with that, I was like, all right, we're going in. And then I just went around and I was like, yo, bro, what's up with this? Or like, and there were different levels of resistance and pushback, and some people were able to receive it and some people weren't, because when your ego gets triggered in the moment, it's the deeper the wound, the more resistant there's going to be to it.
Definitely.
And being able to continue to penetrate or invite other people in to provide reflections so the person can see this is a thing. It's like a surgery of sorts. And to be able to stay in the heart, but also risk being misunderstood or disliked in the process. Someone it might be like, fuck you, bro. Who the fuck do you think you are? And you have to be able to be like, I'm just mirroring, I'm just holding this mirror up and you can do with it what you want. And now you see how you're reacting to it. And now that I've had that embodied process, I feel like I was the only person able to take the energy there in that circumstance because of the preparation and the initiation that I had received.
Yes.
So that initiation allowed me to be in a position of service to that moment.
So, I like that, because you are the vessel at that you were the vessel. You received all that energy.
And it was a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy.
And I think it's interesting that you mentioned the vessel, because this past weekend I did a three-day, I was on a leadership, now I don't want to call it retreat, but a training or gather. I don't even want to call it like a training. It was, I don't even know how to describe it. But the top, we opened our first day with, what is your purpose? And that was a tough one for me. And when it came down to it, I had to really reflect on my experiences within this space. I think You Belong Here has been the biggest pivot in my life, and it's been the most alignment with who I really am deep down inside. So when I was thinking about that, what's my purpose? I have so many purposes dependent on the seasons of my life, but I think the most underlying purpose is that I am a vessel. I have the unique capability to take the hits and the punches. And yes, they hurt, but I absorb them and I release them. And that is necessary to act as a vessel in this type of work that I do. It's not just co-work. I absorb the stories that come into the space, the traumas, the pain, the hurt, the suffering, that they come here and I welcome them in here, and I take them, and I put them inside me, and I put them inside the walls and the floors, and it's everywhere. I feel like I hold that space for a lot of people, and I think that's why a lot of people align with You Belong Here, because they have somewhere to put it. And I'm okay taking it. I do have to make sure to empty that vessel, you know?
Yeah.
Because I have to make sure that my own capacity is not, like, overflowing.
For other people that are building and stepping into the role that you're in, what are some of the self-care or, like, grounding practices you use?
Okay, that's a good question. I'm still working through that for myself personally, because, like I said, I feel like I'm always in different seasons. But space is a practice for me, is having space to process what I've experienced, having space to process what I grew up an only daughter. Like, I have three brothers, but I'm the only daughter. And so my brothers all had to share a room, and I had my own room. So I was always in solitude as a child. And now that I'm older, I start to realize that solitude is my healing. Because when I was a child, I'd be in my room and I'd be coloring and drawing and just making things and being creative. And I'm back to that. So creating space for myself, solitude, and then writing is a form of release for me. So I'm always writing. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Maybe you're familiar with Artist Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the morning, like the morning pages.
Yeah.
That is a thing for me. And I turn the morning pages into like almost a daily activity when I feel it. I recently had, when we were talking about this thing I had on the past weekend, had a reaction to someone. And I was like, I really need a self-care right now. Like, I feel it in my stomach. I'm feeling my breathing was changing. And let me step outside. In order to ground myself, what I had to do was pull out my phone. And I turned on my recording device on the phone. And I just talked about everything I was feeling, everything I experienced. I had to get it all out of my system. And then I was like, after 10 minutes, I was like, okay, I think I'm good. Yeah. I just had to talk through what it was that bothered me and triggered me and what was disrupting me inside.
Right.
And I really just had to address it. And I find the way to heal myself, or self-care, self-love, in those moments is space and release. How do I create the space? Go find your space and then find a form of release. And that could be writing. I love to write poetry. I love to type essays. Like, I'll just type out, I'll turn things into stories, or I'll just do a recording where I'm like, I'm feeling this and I feel this way and I feel that way. And I don't listen to them, and I actually never read them either. I never read them. It's a release.
Right.
Get rid of it. Get it out of my system. Express. It's gone. So I would say space and release.
Yeah, that's great. I record ideas that I have, but I haven't vented to my voice memos yet. And that sounds like a great practice.
Yeah.
You know, because we often utilize other people if we're overwhelmed to like release steam, which is part of being human. Mm-hmm. But if we have the capacity to go to a park and put our feet in nature and vent to a tree or vent to our voice recording and then just be able to show up without carrying that energy into our relationships and interactions, I think that's powerful.
Definitely. That's also a boundary that I think a lot of us cross is that energy is being expelled onto other people.
Right.
And I think we just have to change the narrative a little bit when it comes to our friends and family and just be like, do you have the capacity today to process something that might be heavy?
Right.
As opposed to, hey, friend, oh my gosh, I feel this way and this happened to me and then that happened. Because we're not checking in with them. We're not asking them, do you have that capacity? But we don't want to keep it in.
Totally.
But we have to find new tools and new ways to process it, rely on individuals.
Yeah, this is the new awareness of consent that I think we're all developing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a process and we're learning it. And also sometimes people don't even have the awareness to know that they're about to release something that could be heavy or toxic or whatever. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's something we only learn through experience or feedback or seeing how people respond to the things we share. But I guess the openness to look at those things and be open to your feedback and just also have grace with each other.
Grace, for sure.
That's huge. Grace and forgiveness and compassion. It's like...
And respect for boundary.
And these are not things that I think are generally taught. So we're learning it in real time.
Yes. Right? This is all the emotional intelligence that we are not taught. We see on TV, online, everyone just yells at each other because they don't have the emotional maturity or the emotional intelligence to process this cognitive dissonance, what they're experiencing, being told no, having a boundary put up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we need to do better on that.
Yeah, and it's, people don't have the capacity for it, but I think it's also something that's intentionally reinforced by the people that are telling stories or creating media, and they like to create things to the lowest common denominator and keep people stuck on a 3D plane where their only sense of awareness is reactivity, stimulus, sensation, reactivity, as opposed to presence, space, breath, intention. Mm-hmm. If anyone's made it to this point in the podcast, then I think you can hear that both Nick and I are coming from this from a high degree of intention and heart-centeredness. So voting is important, casting your vote, but really we're casting our vote every day with who we choose to invest in financially, energetically.
I love that.
So if this conversation is inspiring, tap in to You Belong Here or check out the projects that I have going, Dharma Glow, like this one, where the energy is all about inspiring people to live a life that leaves a legacy of love. So think about the things that you're subscribing to or the websites you're checking. That you're all giving them power by giving them your attention and your money. So if we want to change society, it's time for us to stop complaining and looking outwardly and just internally shift the things that you have control over. And when enough of us do that, then society changes.
Definitely. I align with that so much. Do I have time to share something? I have done therapy for about 13 years. I have a lot of trauma that I've experienced, and it did take my power, and I didn't like how it was taking my power. It's something I do as another form of healing and self-care, but I'd like to share something I learned in therapy. I used to live in the space of the fear, watching the news, the politicians, everything that's going on in the world. Like, these are things so far removed from me and as an individual, but they were impacting me so much. And I remember one of my sessions with my therapist, I was like, I just can't stop thinking about this and this, and then this is so unjust, and da-da. And she's, Nick, I want you to understand where you're at right now. And I was like, okay. She's, think of yourself as the center of a big sphere. And I was like, all right. And she's like, that sphere, you're in the middle of the sphere, there's an outer layer of the sphere, and that outer layer is your husband and your family members, like your brothers, your parents. And then the outer is your coworkers and community members and your friends, people that you have invested much time and, you know, love and energy to. And then there's another layer, there's your neighbors in your neighborhood. Then there's another layer where it's just people who are in your city. And then another layer is the world. And then outside that layer is all the chaos of the world. Mm-hmm. And she's, do you see this visually? And I'm like, yes. Yeah. She's like, where do you live right now? I'm like, on the chaos of the world. She's like, you're not here with your husband, your parents, your brothers, your friends, your community. You're all the way outside. She's, we need to get you to live back inside. Mm. And I was like, whoa, that was every time I feel myself drifting to that outer layer, I bring myself back. Like, just the constant awareness of being taught that. Bring yourself back.
That's so powerful, and the visual is so helpful. Mm-hmm. We need a diagram of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I believe I can speak for Nick in saying that none of the things we're saying about where we've been or where any one of you may be at is a judgment. It's just hopefully spreading awareness that we have agency to choose how we show up and how we experience life. So I've also done therapy. It was very helpful. I do yoga every day. I've meditated every day for the past 3 years. I've been doing Kundalini, and all of these things have helped me to expand my consciousness and relate more deeply to my true self, which everyone has the capacity for. Yes. It's just a matter of if you choose to put your energy towards that. Again, if anything about this inspires you, please reach out to connect with us and build and grow together.
Yes.
Yeah. So could you share how people can connect with You Belong Here and maybe how they could join if they're interested in that?
You can visit www.youbelongsd.com. SD is short for San Diego. You can also find me on Instagram. It's You Belong Here SD. And if you go onto the website, you can, there's a tab that says memberships, and it has a breakdown of all the possible memberships. And there are many of them, and I've done my best to try to make them what I view as pretty affordable so that there's not a huge barrier to entry. And if there is a huge barrier to entry, there are free co-work session days at the space where you can come in and work. I'm going to be starting play days, and that's where people can come in for free and test out all the equipment. They can test out the podcast studio equipment, the photography studio equipment, and just get a feel for the space.
Wonderful. And obviously you can connect with me and the community at Dharma Glow at dharmaglow.com, at Dharma Glow on all the social media channels. And I have plenty of other things going on, but that's a good place to start. So once you get tapped into there, let's start there. And my personal IG is at Dijon Bowden. So glad you took the time to drop in with us, and we look forward to building and growing with you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming on, Nick.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Peace and love, family.
Bye.
All right, fam. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com, and stay connected. Spread the word, because what we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.